are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina. I cover the New York Giants for a variety of places, and you can check all my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. And of course, there's going to be a lot to talk about this week as the NFL gears up for the combine. Currently on a Tuesday, which is when this podcast is airing, everybody is en route to Indianapolis, including yours truly. And things will kick off tomorrow morning when Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur speak to the press. So there will be lots and lots and lots to talk about. We'll hear from players on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and so forth. So this week, we're going to have a big week of podcasts here on the Locked On Giants podcast with coverage planned for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we'll probably do a wrap up either Sunday or Monday on the combine. So do make sure you keep it here, and also make sure that if you have a smart device in your car, that you ask that smart device each day to play the Locked On Giants podcast so that you have something to listen to other than the same old boring songs on the way home. Well, folks, today is a Twitter Tuesday. And as usual, great questions came in. This time around, though, I see some questions overlapping, so I'm going to try and acknowledge everybody who asked a question. And we'll jump right into it. Okay, and we'll start off with Daniel Ahrens, who wants to know, how high should expectations be for the trio of Dalvin Tomlinson, B.J. Hill, and Lorenzo Carter? I think, Daniel, there is optimism amongst the Giants coaching staff for that trio. You have to remember that last year was the first time James Betcher ran his defense. And for half a season, I think you saw, you know, Tomlinson and Hill not really playing the position, the positions that they were meant to play. So they moved in there once Damon Harrison was traded. You saw Lorenzo Carter get some additional snaps as the season went on. So I do think the arrow was pointing up. I think there were, you know, the team is excited about the prospect of those three. But with that said, I do expect that they will probably add to not just the outside linebackers or the edge rushers, but also to that defensive line. Mark W. asks, Mark W. has a similar question. He's concerned about the D-line and getting another B.J. Hill for the other D.E. is more important than an edge linebacker. Could Dalvin Tomlinson move to DE if they draft Ed Oliver? Again, Mark, yeah, anything is possible. I don't think what we saw last year was definitely set in stone. But like I said to Daniel, you have to remember that last year these guys were just playing in these positions for really the first time at this level under Betcher's system. So I think we just have to kind of see what's going to happen in the spring, where they line them up. You know, is it possible if they add Ed Oliver that they can move these guys around? Yeah, I mean, you can't rule anything out at this point, but I think we just have to see how it all kind of unfolds before we say for sure what's going to happen. Okay, these next three questions from Tony Thomas, Christopher Knowles, and Gettleman Subconscious are all kind of similar. They have to do with Eli Manning. What are the key dates related to Eli's status? And Gettleman Subconscious wants to know what happens on or about March 17th, March 17th being the day that Eli Manning's $5 million roster bonus is due. So to answer Tony's question, March 17th is the key day. You have to see if Eli gets paid that $5 million roster bonus. If he does, guess what, folks? That means Eli is probably not going anywhere, regardless of what they do in the draft. All right, so let's see if the Giants don't do what I suggested, which is to lower Eli's cap number by adding on another year in order to absorb the cap hit. All right, so Christopher wants to know in relationship to the quarterback, he listened to another podcast. Oh, Christopher, you cheated on us. Shame on you. No, just kidding, man. He listened to another podcast who said that that the Giants don't have the capital move up and get a guy like Dwayne Haskins. Is this true? Yes and no. If you really, really, really want to trade up to get Haskins and you're willing to trade away assets from your 2020 class, it can be done. I do not recommend it. I do not think Dave Gettleman will do it. I think what the Giants will do is they will stand pat at number 6, possibly move down. I could see them moving down. I don't think they will move up because they have too many needs to address, and I just don't see them going and spending all this draft capital, including potential picks next year, to get one quarterback. You know, they do need a quarterback. I am not disputing that. I am not saying that Dwayne Haskins isn't worth it. I just don't think it is the best use of the Giants' resources. There is going to be probably about 5 or 6 quarterbacks coming out in 2020 who are expected to have first round grades. Not every team drafting ahead of the Giants is probably going to need a quarterback, so I do not think, even if the Giants finish with a better record, that they're going to need to spend a whole lot of assets to move up to like a top 5 or top, you know, the top 3 of the draft. So my guess is the Giants will wait till 2020. They are not going to force a quarterback at this point. If they grab Dwayne Haskins, great. I mean, I've actually done some study on him, been very impressed by what I've seen. You know, I would not, you know, hate that move if they were to draft him. I would hate it, though, if they had to move up and they threw away, you know, draft prospects this year and next year when they have so many holes to address. Yanks fan Paul wants to know, based on draft depth, which direction should the Giants look to upgrade in the draft and in free agency? My take on that is I would look at free agency for a free safety, for a right tackle, and I might look to see if I can get like a second to third tier type of pass rusher in free agency. You know, a guy who maybe is coming to the end of his career, but who can maybe give me some additional firepower if I move on from Olivier Vernon, which, you know, they may or may not do. I mean, some days I think they're going to, and some days I'm just not so sure. So that one has me kind of perplexed. In the draft, the pass rushers is a very deep class, so I could see them adding another defensive interior player to help push that pocket. I think they will add another edge rusher to go along with, you know, Lorenzo Carter and, you know, whoever else they decide to keep as an edge rusher. I could see them adding another tight end, especially if they move on from Rhett Ellison. I don't know that they will, but Rhett Ellison does have a high cap number. He's on the wrong side of 30. Ultimately, I think you would want to move on from him, and this is said to be one of the best classes in the tight end position in quite some time. So I would maybe look to dip into that class later on in the draft, because several guys that would normally have higher, you know, round grades are probably going to fall to day 3, and you'll probably be able to get a good guy to fill a need at tight end if you want to. What will be the plan for the safety position if the Giants do not bring back Landon Collins? Will Dog, I'll answer that in a moment, but again, the Giants, you know, I think everybody is jumping the gun here, all right? The Giants, I think, are going to make a good faith effort to negotiate with Landon Collins to bring him back. They do have at their disposal the franchise tag and the transition tag. They can use either one of those if things don't get done. I think we're all reading into something that, you know, just, I think we're jumping the gun, to be honest with you. So let's just kind of, you know, sit back and just see what these next couple weeks bring. March 5th is the deadline for the tag. Let's see what the next, you know, several days bring and you know, who knows, maybe they'll come together on a deal and, you know, this will all have been for naught. But if the Giants don't bring back Landon Collins, there are some free agency options. I know HaHa Clinton Dix is one. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Earl Thomas is another guy who could probably play both safety spots. You know, you might see Sean Chandler get an increase in his playing time. You also conceivably see Michael Thomas get an increase in his playing time. So they do have options. But again, I do think the Giants, excuse me, and Landon Collins will work out a new contract. Adrian 56 writes that Vic Beasley was a 15-sack guy a few years ago, and the Falcons may not take the 50-year options. The Giants need an edge rusher. Would you trade for him? Nope, wouldn't trade for a guy. Again, for the simple reason that I need my, you know, if I'm Gettleman, I save my draft capital to move up or to move down as necessary. You know, I don't, you know, unless you're talking a straight player-for-player trade, then I would consider it. But I just think that, you know, this draft class is so deep in pass rushers, guys who are maybe capable of being 15 sack guys a year. So why trade for one when you can potentially get one on a rookie deal for a lot cheaper? Just doesn't really make sense to me. All right, Giant fans, you're listening to Locked On Giants. It is a Twitter Tuesday as we kick off the week of the Combine. So we're going to take a short break. Stay with us, and we'll come back and answer more of your questions. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants segment 2. And we are on a Twitter Tuesday, the first of what's going to be a very, very busy week. We have a lot of podcasts coming your way, so we do hope you'll be checking them out. And let's get back to your questions. Actually, these next two questions are kind of related. They're from Stateman1952 and NYG Pete, both of whom want to know about Sam Beal. Stateman asks, how excited are the Giants about Sam Beal? Pete asks, what do you make of the cornerback position and how much can Sam Beal be relied upon? And he also goes on to ask, what any chance that B.W. Webb has a big role again? Okay, let's start with Stateman's question about how excited are the Giants regarding Sam Beal. I do believe that the Giants are counting on Sam Beal to compete for a starting position, a starting cornerback position next year. I would be very, very surprised if Beal is just given a part-time role. I think that was the plan all along when they initially drafted him. You figured that, you know, ultimately Sam Beal was going to be a starter at one of the cornerback positions, and I think that's where that is headed, despite the fact that Beal missed all of last year due to a shoulder injury that they had to address. Regarding the rest of the cornerback situation, that's a tough one because I do have a feeling that they're going to keep Janoris Jenkins another year. I know there was I was going back and forth with this regarding the cap hit. Would they potentially move on from him? And I just think that they're going to, you know, it makes too much sense to keep him, because you do have an experienced cornerback there who can be a shutdown corner, a guy who got off to a slow start last year because of some kind of injury he was nursing. So I just think the Giants will keep Janoris Jenkins one more year. I do see that they might bring back B.W. Webb. I think B.W. Webb earned another contract. You know, you also have... I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name. Grant Haley, that's who I'm thinking of. My apologies, folks. You have Grant Haley, who, you know, is going to compete probably for that slot cornerback role. And really, you know, as I see it, you probably are going to want to add another cornerback. You could probably do that in the draft. And I think you'll be set if you add another cornerback, or maybe even two, maybe a drafted player and an undrafted free agent. So, you know, I could see that happening. I think the Giant cornerback position is really not that bad depth-wise, but as I say to you so many times, the way we see their needs and the way they see their needs oftentimes are like night and day. Andrew, NYG Andrew, who's a right tackle we can get in free agency? Keep an eye on Darrell Williams of Carolina for obvious reasons. Plus, Darrell Williams, before he suffered, the season-ending injury last year, was pretty good. He was pretty solid. So he's a guy that Gettleman knows well, and I fully expect that Williams will be one of the first people that Gettleman reaches out to. Giants 4SB. What's more ridiculous, the idea of hiring a head coach because he's a quarterback whisperer, or running backs are a dime a dozen, Saquon notwithstanding? I'm not sure either one, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're going to have a young quarterback on your roster, it's probably not a bad idea to have an offensive-minded coach who has worked with them in the past to get the most out of them and to help tailor the offense so that it, fits that guy's talent level. Running backs are a dime a dozen. I could see why somebody would say that. But to lump Saquon Barkley in that group, that to me is just not accurate. Saquon Barkley is so much more than just a running back. This is a receiving threat. This is a guy who can block. This is a once-in-a-generational type of talent. And it just boggles my mind when people sit there and say, the Giants wasted a pick on a running back last year. The number two overall pick. They did not waste the pick. If they had drafted, Joe Blow, your ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill running back, yes, then I would say they wasted the pick. But Saquon Barkley has the potential to become a Hall of Famer. He has the potential to be, in the same class as an Adrian Peterson or, a Barry Sanders, and at least based on the first year. Obviously, we have to see how the rest of his career unfolds. But, how could you be unhappy with that pick? I just don't get it. You had the Offensive Rookie of the Year. You had a Pro Bowler. You had a guy who was everything you wanted and then some, let alone a guy who rejuvenated the running game. I just don't understand why some people are bemoaning that pick. It just makes no sense to me. So, anyway, I know I got off the track a little bit there, but I do hope I answered your question. Next question is from NYFan1987. How much would the Giants save if they cut Vernon next year instead of this year? Jenkins as well. I'd like to wait another season, he writes. Okay, so if the Giants cut Vernon after the 2019 season, they would, it looks like they would have $19 million. Wait, let's see here. $19.5 million would be his cap hit for 2020, but they would have a $4 million dead money cap hit. So you're looking at $15.5 million if they were to cut him after the 2019 season. So it would be a little bit more of a savings, pretty much similar to what would happen if they designated him as a post-June 1st cap hit. And the same is probably going to be true for Jenkins. Let me just pull up his contract information here. All right, Jenkins. Let's see what he comes up to. Jenkins in 2020 has a $14.75 million cap hit, which is the same as this year. The difference would be the Giants would save an additional $3.5 million if they waited till after 2019 to cut him. So you would be looking at roughly an 11, if I'm doing my math correctly, goodness, I should be able to do this in my head, right? 3.5, you're looking at about $11.25 million savings if you wait until after 2019 to move on from Jenkins, with only a $3.5 million dead money hitting the 2020 cap. Okay. Ramesh Chandra, Ramdude75, looking forward to all the insight from the combine. Let's not worry too much about Collins. Agree. So his question is, I'd like to know a player on defense and offense who you will be watching closely, other than the quarterbacks. I don't have a specific player I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I mean, obviously I'm focused on the quarterbacks because, you know, that's where all the rage is right now. I just need to get a better feel for guys. I've been watching some tape. I want to hear from guys. So I don't have one specific player on offense and defense that I'm curious about. I mean, I guess I would want to know more about the tackle, Jonah Williams, on offense. I probably on defense, I'd want to know about some of these edge rushers and some of these defensive interior guys. But I don't have anybody in particular, but I will be obviously reporting on what everybody has to say. I'm going to try and get to as many player interviews as I can. You know, it's kind of like a speed dating situation where you have to jump from table to table, from podium to podium, and, you know, see how much you can get in the hour that they allow for each interview session. So I will do my best to try and get as much as I can and report that out to you, including who's meeting with the Giants, which, you know, is information that, quite frankly, is not, you know, doesn't mean anything, but I know people like to know that, but I'll see if I can get that for you. Steven Nixon asked the same question. Who are you looking forward to seeing at the combine and why? You know, I don't go in with a set, you know, number of guys or a set list of guys that I, you know, that I want to hear from or that I want to see. I just kind of take it all in because sometimes you go in and you think, oh, I've got to get to this guy. And then another guy, the name of another guy suddenly hits your radar and you've got a reverse course. So, you know, again, to Ramesh and Steven, it's a good question, but I don't really have a set, you know, list of guys. I'm just going to go in. I'm going to get to as many as I can. I'm going to do as much film work as I can. You know, watch the workouts on the closed circuit TV because media is not allowed to watch the workouts, unfortunately. And just, you know, I'll be happy to answer whatever questions I can on the next Twitter Tuesday. And I'll keep reporting what I, you know, whatever I find. So, all right. Folks, you're listening to Locked On Giants. It is a Twitter Tuesday. We have a few more of your questions coming up, so stay with us and we will wrap up after the break. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Twitter Tuesday. You are with Patricia Traina, and I am going through your questions, a lot of good ones, a few that, you know, overlap. So I'm trying to give a shout out to those of you who might have asked the same question. And in this segment three, I'll continue answering your questions, starting with one about the quarterbacks. This is a combo question, comes from Big Eric 757 and my buddy D Ricker 81 from Twitter. Big Eric wants to know, what's more beneficial, drafting a quarterback at number six or somewhere else with the future in mind? Eric, the answer to that is getting the right guy. Whether you get that guy at six, whether you get that guy at 36, whether you get that guy at 106, you have to get the right guy. You cannot force a pick. If you start forcing a pick, you're going to create a bad situation for your franchise. And that's something that, unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand. They look at the draft class and they say, oh my God, we've got to come away with a quarterback this year. There's going to be no less than five quarterbacks next year, you know, barring injury, obviously, barring any kind of disaster, that are going to have high grades. Okay, first round grades. Not every team is going to need a quarterback next year. I still think next year is the way to go. I do not think Dwayne Haskins is going to last at number six. And even if he is there, I would be surprised if the Giants have him as their top graded player, you know, given, you know, their other needs. But I don't know that. Right now, the Giants haven't finished their grades. They haven't set their draft board. I'm just going based on what I know as of the time I record this. Now, can that change? Sure it can. If it does, I'll be happy to let you know what I find out. But right now, to me, The impression I get is that the Giants are looking to upgrade the offensive line and the defense. That's where I see them going with the early picks in the draft. And as for my buddy D. Ricker, 81, he wants to know, if the Giants take a quarterback at 6 or even trade up for one, will I be critical of the team afterwards, given your firm belief that we can still win with Eli and that this quarterback is weak? If the Giants take a quarterback at 6, great. As I've said to you before, it doesn't matter to me. You know, there's this common misconception that I want Eli to play forever. And that's not true. I know that he's getting up there in age. I know that the talent is slipping. I know that they're going to have to move on from him sooner than later. I realize that. I get no extra money if Eli is the quarterback or if he isn't the quarterback. You guys got to understand that, okay? All I want to see the Giants do is make the right decision. Don't force a pick just because you say, oh, we need it. Dave Gettleman himself has said this many times. The minute you go into the draft or free agency saying, I've got to get a insert position here, that's when you screw it up. And, you know, this, I get it. There's a sense of urgency, but I also think, I get the impression that Eli is going to be back for the final year of his contract. He's going to play out the 2019 season, and we'll see if they decide to extend him to lower that number, like I have been proposing they do. Okay, if the Giants trade up to get a quarterback, yeah, I'm going to be critical because I think they have extra needs. They have other needs, and they are not one or two players away to where they can be, where they can afford to give away, you know, draft picks, not only this year, but also next year. They would almost certainly have to include, you know, either a number one or a number two next year. And I just don't think that's a good use of their resources. I'm sorry. I know you're going to disagree with me on that, but that's how I feel. Okay, moving on with the questions. Let's see, Marbles 108. Do you think we spread our free agent money around on middle level pieces or go after one or two big players? I think it's going to be a combination. Landon Collins is going to, you know, presumably get a nice size contract. So that's going to, you know, take up some free agency money. I think a right tackle is going to cost them some money. I think, you know, outside linebacker, they could probably get a middle-level type of guy, but I still say they're going to probably go draft there. So, I think it's going to be a mixture bordering on more middle-level pieces cost-wise. Okay, Croc77 says, the Pats and the Rams both locked high comp picks. What can Dave G learn from their recent moves and apply to this year's offseason? I'm not sure there's anything to be learned, to be honest with you. You know, it's a matter of, you know, the comp picks are awarded based on players you lose and, you know, where they sign and how much they play and how much money they make. It's a complicated formula. So, you know, and it's also a top secret formula. Nobody outside of the NFL Management Council knows how it's calculated. I know Nick over at Over the Cap has figured it out and has done a pretty good job with his projections. But, you know, even he's not always spot on. He's come close, but not always, you know, 100%. So, you know, it's all about retaining the guys that you think are going to help you moving forward and knowing when to give up on those guys that, you know, are just lost causes. That's really the only lesson you can take. You know, I don't know what you mean as far as, you know, how can the Giants get higher draft picks? It all depends on who they end up losing. Now, if you want to see the Giants get a higher draft pick, then I would say franchise tag Landon Collins. And if you know, somebody comes with a ridiculous offer and you know that you're not going to be able to match it, then pull the tag back. And then you're going to probably be guaranteed you're going to get at least a third round comp pick. You know, do you really want to do that? I don't think so. But, you know, that would be one way. Zach Mahoney, too, speaking of Landon Collins, says, I want Landon Collins to be a Giant for life. From a business perspective, the transition tag makes sense. Is the exact contract offered by another team what needs to be signed to match the Giants, or just the numbers? Can the Giants manipulate how it's paid out? You know what, Zach? I know the money has to be the same, and I'm not sure about how it's paid out. I believe the guaranteed money has to be the same. The signing bonus needs to be the same, but I believe the base salaries can be, you know, manipulated a little bit. I'm not 100% sure on that. I will look into that. That's a very good question, and I do thank you for bringing that up. But, you know, on the whole, you know, the bottom line is the contract needs to be identical money-wise. It has to be a match. But how much room they have to manipulate, that I will try and find out for you. And I'll see if I, you know, hopefully I'll remember to address this on the next Twitter Tuesday. If I don't, please submit the question again, and I will be happy to, you know, to revisit the topic. Curtis D0101, seems like Robert Martin has become a forgotten man in the Giants' backfield. Do you think he has a good shot of challenging Wayne Gallman for the backup job? Also, is Paul Perkins still an option? Yeah, you know, great question. And you know, thinking outside the box, Robert Martin, who was on the practice squad all last year after having a decent enough summer, you know, to hang around. You know, is he going to compete? Absolutely. You know, I don't see why he wouldn't if he's still on the roster. Regarding Paul Perkins, as far as I know, he is still on the roster. He spent all last year on the non-football injury list. So can he eventually compete if he's still here? Yeah, I could see that happening. You know, probably a little too early to say for sure, because, you know, we have to see who the Giants want to add and where they can afford to, you know, maybe move guys off the roster because they need those spots. My guess is of Martin and Perkins, I don't know that both of them are going to be on the 90-man roster. But again, it's kind of early to say for sure. But, you know, again, we'll see how it all shakes out and how Gettleman, you know, stacks up the roster for training camp. Okay, and then finally, Fishy Scientist asks, what do you think the plan is for Kyle Lauletta? I'm guessing here there is close to zero chance he is the heir apparent. I think you're right there. I mean, when they drafted Kyle Lauletta, I kind of got the impression it was to be a backup. And if he developed, that, you know, maybe he could be a placeholder at some point. I'm not so sure that they're at that spot right now with him. I do think the Giants will draft another quarterback or add another quarterback. Pat Shurmur has said in the past that he likes to have a young quarterback, that he likes to develop these guys. So I do think that is a very strong possibility. Whether, again, they do it in the draft, whether they do it, you know, as an undrafted free agent, or they pick up another guy, I think you're going to see a new face in that quarterback room one way or another. So, you know, as for Lauletta, you know, we saw in that late season game against Washington how he struggled. You know, and Pat Shurmur in his, you know, addressing the media said, you know, I hope you saw what you wanted to see. At that point, you would have thought that Lauletta would be a little further along, and for him to go out and struggle the way he did, that was a red flag for me. So I don't know what the future holds for him. I do know when they packed up their stuff at the end of last year, Lauletta told me that he was going to go out to California to train, to throw with guys, to do everything he could to make sure that he sticks around. So, you know, we'll see how much he gets done and how much better he looks, and we'll go from there. All right, Giant fans, that will wrap up Twitter Tuesday. I want to thank everybody for sending in questions. If I did not get to your question, it's probably because by the time I recorded this, your question came in after the fact. So do feel free to send those questions in, and also send those questions in as the week goes on at the Combine here. Make sure you're tagging them, Ask P Train, so that I can find them very easily. It'll just help me locate them and make the list up that much quicker. All right, so on that note, Giant fans, be sure to tune in tomorrow. I'll have reactions. I'll have sound bites. I'll have information. Dave Gettleman and Pat Shermer are both scheduled to speak late morning. So we'll probably have the podcast out in the afternoon. So do make sure you are tuning in. So thank you for listening, and I will talk to you soon.